It's good to see you guys in the house. Welcome to Epic Church. If you're here for the first time, just want to say welcome. My name is Derek, and I'm one of the pastors here, and we are so glad that you are here. If you're joining us online, we are thrilled that you would be here as well. We are kicking off, actually, no, we're not kicking off anything. We're landing a plane today. I need to get my story straight, but we're landing a plane on a series that we've been in the last several weeks called Soundtracks. Y'all been enjoying this series? Yeah, leaning in. Yeah, it's been really, really good. And we've been in the Psalms. We've been talking about the soundtracks that we listen to, that we play on repeat. Some of those soundtracks, we started week one with I'm Afraid, very, very common soundtrack. We went to week two, I'm a Failure. Week three was I Don't Hear from God. And then last week, we leaned into the first part of Psalm 23, and we talked about feeling alone, feelings of loneliness. And we learned that we actually have a shepherd who's with us. Y'all remember that? Good. And if you missed any of those weeks, hey, go to our YouTube channel, go to Facebook. You can catch up. I would highly encourage you to do that. But today, I want to close out this series by going back to Psalm 23, but looking at the final two verses and another soundtrack that a lot of us commonly listen to. It's the soundtrack of feeling overwhelmed. Anybody with me on that one? Yeah. That's something we battle daily. This soundtrack, like the others, it can stay on repeat. And that shouldn't really surprise any of us because we feel overwhelmed for all kinds of reasons. Think about it. Deadlines, debt, diagnosis, decisions, disappointments, difficult relationships. Every time you and I are faced with that noise, we begin to feel attacked, don't we? We feel like everyone and everything is against us. We feel like we're in a battle and the enemy is just closing in on us. And folks, when that happens, we start asking questions, don't we? Like our natural instinct when we're feeling overwhelmed with life, we're facing a painful reality, is we begin to ask things like, how did I get into this mess? Follow up, how am I gonna get out of this mess? We go into fix-it mode, right? We got any fixers in the house? Yeah. Right. Raise your hands again. Look around, folks. These are the people you need to come to when you need to fix something, all right? They're ready. They can't wait. But we go into fix-it mode. How can I solve this problem, and how can I solve it quickly, all right? Or how about this one? We assign blame. It's got to be somebody's fault. Not my fault. It's your fault, all right? It's your fault. It's his fault. Somebody's fault, anybody's fault but our own. Or this might be the most self-destructive filter of all, self-pity. Why did this have to happen to me? Like, I've been reading my Bible. I've been going to Epic Church. I'm serving in kids ministry, all right? I'm in a life group. Like, why? I'm doing all the right things, right? Why did this have to happen to me? These are the kinds of questions and so many more that we lean into when we start to feel overwhelmed, when that soundtrack is playing on repeat in our heads. But what if those aren't the right questions? They're the common ones, they're the default ones, but what if they're not the right ones? What if there's a better question that we should be asking when we feel overwhelmed or we feel like everything is closing in on us? Hang on to that. Hang on to that thought as we jump into verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 23 today. If you got a Bible, you got your phone, you got a tablet, however you access God's word, it's already on the screens for you. If you don't have a Bible, we have them in the back at the tables behind each section. Feel free to grab one. That's our gift to you as you leave today, or you can go get it right now if you want to. But let's jump into verses 5 and 6, and here's what it says. It says, you prepare a feast, some translations say table. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Now be honest. How many of you have read that part of the famous psalm and just breezed right by it without giving it much thought? I have many times. It it seems kind of backwards, doesn't it? Think about it. I mean, have you ever wondered why God would do that? Like, why would he put a table? Why would he prepare a table? Why would he prepare a feast in the presence of our enemies? Like, why does he choose to put a table in the middle of our struggle? Why does he put a table in the middle of the battle, in the middle of our enemies? This is often a struggle for us because we tend to think and reason that, God, you've got this all wrong. Like, you're supposed to wipe my enemies out, and then you're supposed to put a table there, and we're going to celebrate. We're going to raise our glass to victory, right? That makes a lot more sense. That's how we would think about it. But that's not what Scripture says, is it? David writes, you prepare a table, you prepare a feast before me in the presence of my enemies. Why? Well, we're getting closer to the question that we probably should be asking when we're overwhelmed, when we're feeling attacked. But maybe God put the table in the fray, if you will, so that the people close enough to the fray could hear what's going on. Maybe God put a table in the presence of our enemies so that he could receive glory. Now, I love all of you, but for the next few moments, you're my enemies, okay? And God has put a table in the presence of our enemies. Y'all are way too serious. I'm just kidding, all right? Y'all are like, No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, God puts a table and he invites us to join him. And how many chairs do you see around this table? That's right, there's two. There's one for the one who prepared it, and then there's an invitation for you. There's an invitation for me. And we learned last week that we have a shepherd, right? We have a shepherd who's with us. And we have a shepherd that even though life gets hard, what does the shepherd do? He invites us to follow him anyway. But we have to accept the invitation. He's prepared the place. He's prepared the table. He invites us to join him. But you and I have to accept the invitation. And I mean, if you just think about it, as God is sitting there and he's got, this looks good, doesn't it? Y'all need to know it's not plastic. It's real. Look at the size of that pepperoni. Oh God, that is so good. And he's not skimping, all right? He's laying it out. And it looks amazing. It tastes amazing. And he wants to serve you because he loves you. He's like, I'm going to sit down and say something as simple and even miraculous as, would you like a drink? Yes, I would. That's good. And he looks at us and he says, I love you. How you doing? I'm so proud of you. Like, I've seen you working hard. I've seen you taking care of your family. Like, I've seen you caring for the people around you and loving your community. Like, you just need to know, like, in heaven, if I had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. Like, it's that real. It's that simple, folks. And he prepares this for us because he wants a relationship with us. But here's what we're prone to do. We're prone to walk in and go, holy cow, look at this. You do this for, are we having lunch today? Is it on the calendar? Like, this looks amazing. Like, God, you are amazing. Wow, I can't believe you did this for me. Sit down. I would love to, but I got to go. Like, I got to get the kids to school. I got to turn in this report at work. Man, I would love to sit down here with you and hang out. And can I take this to go?
Okay, it's good.
Tell you what. We need to make sure we do the thing. All right. So we want to get a picture. Want to put the epic filter on there. Got it. All right, hang on. I gotta post this real quick. We begin to post, and I'm like, look, I got you. I'm tagging you. Hashtag OG, only God. Yes. Look at this. Just for me. Awesome. Man, we post that thing. We send it out. We're like, hey, you're best. You're awesome. Love you. I got it right here. It's awesome. It's so good. And we go about our way, and we're like, hey, what's up? Dude, did you see this? Like, me and God, look at that. We were just hanging. Oh. He did that for me. That's awesome. And we're so busy. Like, we got so much going on that we miss all of this. But we want to capture it because what happens is we're focused on this. We're focused on what he's prepared. But we're missing the fact that he's at the table. We're focused on what it is, not who it is. And he puts a table, still warm, it's good. He puts a table for us in the presence of our enemies because he wants to be with us when it's good, when it's not good, when we're feeling overwhelmed, when we're feeling secure. This is the picture that God is trying to give you and I. And the table changes everything. Because when you're sitting here, guess what? You're no longer focused on your struggles. You're no longer focused on your enemies. You're no longer focused on what's overwhelming when you're locked in with the shepherd. Changes everything. It's God and it's me and it's a relationship in the midst so that someone who needs to know that there is an abundance can actually lean over and see and hear what's going on. And he puts it there so that you and I can respond to his invitation to linger with him in the middle of our struggle, in the middle of our battle, in the middle of our enemies all around us. Because this is where you and I have the best opportunity to push stop to the soundtrack of being overwhelmed and push start to the soundtrack of his security and his peace. Folks, we have to recognize that the enemy wants our attention, but the shepherd wants our affection. Side note, because this is a reality that we all face, the enemy, while he is surrounding us, he will never stop trying to get a seat at this table that God has prepared for you and me. But you remember what I said, you can see it. There's only two places. There's our creator and there is us. There is no room for the enemy at this table. So don't invite him in. The enemy would love to have a seat at our table, and lingering is the best defense for an enemy who's trying to sit there. So let me unpack why God put the table here, why he put it in the presence of our enemies, why he put it in the fray, why he put it in the middle of our struggle in order to help us move from being overwhelmed to feeling secure in our shepherd so that God can receive the glory. First thing I want you to see, he put the table in the middle of your struggle so that you can know that he is enough. Let that sink in. He put it in the middle of your struggle so that you and I could know he is enough. Now, none of us want trials. None of us want difficulties. None of us want bad days, all right? We don't want moments where we feel like nobody has our back. No, nobody is looking for that. But if you and I were to look back at the markers, if we were to look back at the significant faith moments in our life, we would say that's where we grew the most. It was in the midst of the struggle. It was in the midst of hanging on to the promises of God's word or standing on the promises of God's word. We might be white knuckling that thing. We might be hanging on by a thread, but the thread didn't break. And because the thread didn't break and God was with us in the midst of it and brought us through it, our faith grew. We would say it was right here that I realized God was real. It was right here that I realized God was all that I needed, or that God hadn't abandoned me. It was right here that my faith became mine and not somebody else's. It's here when I found that standing on God's promises is the best thing you can do when you're facing life's hardest moments. And he's with me every step of the way. So the table's here so that you and I can know that he's enough. I mean, if it was anywhere else, how would we know? Some of y'all know the story about the people of Israel and how they crossed the Red Sea and how God parted the Red Sea and the enemy was on their tail, came after them, the Egyptians, and God brought the waters and closed in on the Egyptians and he saved them. Folks, how would they know if God hadn't parted the Red Sea? If God hadn't showed up in the middle of their struggle, how would they know that he was enough? Think about it. If they're standing on the other side, And God had built a bridge in the midst of that moment. They might have admired his practical wisdom, all right? If he'd given them boats to cross the sea, they might have appreciated his provision. But God didn't do that. He literally parted the waters because he wanted them to know that he was enough, even in the most difficult of circumstances, even in the most overwhelming circumstances. Folks, God didn't just want his people to be delivered. He wanted his people to be convinced. The table proves God's provision, but the oil proves God's affection. Look at the second part of verse 5. David says, you honor me by anointing my head with oil. Now, this is a language of honor. Shepherds would actually pour oil over the sheep's head in order to tend to the wounds that they would have on that part of the body. They would also pour oil over their heads so that they could be not terrorized by all of the insects and all of the flies and all of the things that were coming at them and constantly up their nostrils, in their face, in their mouth. I mean, have you ever seen sheep? Like, have you ever seen an actual sheep? They're disgusting. All right? And shepherds are taking care of them. And so they would pour oil over their head. And this is what they would do. Kings back in the day were anointed with oil as a sign of God's favor, as a sign of God's calling. So while the enemy would try to keep us listening to the soundtrack of being overwhelmed, being inadequate, being damaged, God is anointing your head with oil with honor. He's saying, no, you're chosen. He's saying that you're enough. He's saying that you're protected, that you are cared for. He's saying that he is all that you and I need. He is enough. So the oil, it makes his provision personal. The second reason that you'll find that the table is in the middle of your struggle is so that your enemies can see that God is enough. Now, I'm probably gonna eat some of y'all's lunch today on this one, but did y'all know God loves your enemies? Yeah, God loves your enemies. He wants them to have a witness. And what is that witness? Well, it might look like something like this. Man, we destroyed her. Like, we took everything she had. This is gonna be so good. And when the enemies are going, okay, any day now, she's gonna throw in the towel. Like we laid her out, she's gonna throw in the towel, she's gonna be done. And they're looking at her, looking at him, and they're looking at her, looking at his face. His face is reflecting off her face. Their face isn't reflecting off her face. They're wondering, wait, I did this, and she's not overwhelmed. She's not breaking. She's not cracking, all right? She's not angry. All I'm seeing is she's looking at him, and he's looking at her, and he's being reflected off her, and I'm not. She's good, she's secure, and our enemies are like, what is going on? She accepted the invitation to sit at the table, and she's locked on him. While the enemy's trying to get there, she's locked on him, and there's no room for the enemy. Now, I don't want to be trite. I don't want to be insensitive, but when you and I are in the presence of the King, when we are sitting at the table, you can still feel all the emotions and walk in the peace that passes all understanding because of who you are keeping company with. And the longer you sit with him, the longer you linger with him, the longer you spend time with him, the less you begin to feel those feelings of being overwhelmed, feeling anxious, feeling stressed, feeling angry, because you're locked into his peace. You're locked into his presence. It can be grace and judgment all at the same time. Meaning it's God's way of saying, oh, you think you're in control? No. But it's also his way of saying, isn't this what you really want in life? And so he put the table here so that you could, and I and our enemies could see and hear that he is enough. Some of y'all may remember a story in the New Testament of God's word about two guys named Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas were prisoners. They were singing praises. They got thrown in jail and they were beaten. And they were singing praises in the midst of being thrown in jail, being falsely accused, and all the other prisoners, they were doing what? They were listening. They were listening. See, there was a table in the jail that night. There was a hardship. There was a difficulty. They were in the middle of the battle, and the enemy was all around them. And they decided to lock into the table. They decided to lock into who was at the table. And everyone around them got to hear. And guess what? The jailer, he got grace. The other prisoners, they got grace. And sometimes you and I can be like, Lord, I don't know why you don't just change the situation. And God is like, hey, time out. Everybody's listening. Come on, somebody. Remember earlier when I said that when we get overwhelmed and we feel like we're under attack from all sides, we start asking questions? Maybe it's some of the ones I mentioned, maybe it's other ones, but we start asking questions. And I said, what if those questions we're asking are not the right questions? What if the right question isn't why? Fill in the blank with whatever you want. But what if the right question is, God, how will you be glorified through this? Come on, folks. How will you be glorified through what I'm going through? This is why our enemies need to see that he's enough, because he will be glorified, acknowledged through the attacks that tend to overwhelm you and I. So here's an idea. What if we were more concerned for God's glory than we were our own relief? If you can't say amen, say ouch. What if we were more concerned with God's glory than we were our own relief? It leads me to the third reason he puts the table here, and it's simply this: so that we can let our cup overflow. Look at the final words in verse 5. It says, my cup overflows with blessings. Now, you can't be in the presence of the King and receive his grace, you can't receive his love, you can't receive his mercy, you can't receive his kindness, you can't receive his forgiveness without being able to in turn extend it to those around you, including your enemies. When we're focused on God, our cup tends to overflow, which provides us with an abundance of God's goodness to be able to share with others. So he puts a table in the middle so that we would have proximity to our enemies, so that we could do exactly what Jesus said to do. That's love our enemies, bless those who curse us, and speak well of those who are not speaking well of us. Listen, Epic, when we get this right, we are good. Like, we are more than good. We go from being overwhelmed to being secure, and he gets the glory. It's like he says, hey, Derek, I'm gonna put this table right here in the middle, right in the fray, right in the battle, because that's where you're gonna change the soundtrack that you've been listening to. It's the best chance for me to get the glory. And if all the people around don't see you crack, but that you found security and confidence in me, you can make it another day. Can I tell you something that I've learned in 50 years of limited experience on this earth? When your cup is empty, you tend to protect yourself. When your cup is overflowing, you can pour yourself out. The question we should be locking into is, God, how are you going to get the glory? Because folks, we serve a God who specializes in turning difficulties into deliverance. He turns problems into praise, but we have to change the soundtrack. We have to accept the invitation. And when we accept the invitation, there's an abundance. There's some for me. There's some for you. We can pour out what he's poured into us. There's an abundance. There's not a scarcity mindset. And what happens is we grab hold of verse 6 of Psalm 23. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. We can live that out like our lives depend on it. Because you know, when you're listening to the wrong soundtrack, our mistakes, they follow us. When we're listening to the wrong soundtrack, our failures, they follow us. Our regrets, they follow us. But when you and I are sitting at the table that God has prepared for us in the presence of our enemies, we discover his goodness. Folks, we discover his unfailing love, and we learn that they are pursuing after us. They are chasing us. It's not our enemies that are chasing us. It's God who is chasing us. Many of us spend so much time being overwhelmed by just the nature of life that we don't realize that his goodness and his love are running after us. Hear me today, folks. The shepherd doesn't just guide us through the valleys. He doesn't just land in the middle of our struggles with a feast. He brings us all the way home. David begins Psalm 23 with green pastures, but he ends in God's house. The destination of the shepherd has always been a relationship. But folks, once again, we have to accept the invitation. And this is where we tend to struggle, right? Because we're so overwhelmed by what's going on. We're so overwhelmed by the stuff and the circumstances in our life that we hear the news, great, I got a shepherd. Awesome. Oh, the shepherd wants to follow me or wants me to follow him. Okay. I got a bunch of other people who want me to follow them too. The shepherd makes me like, oh, you just lost me there. I'm not letting anybody make me do anything. This is how we think, right? And we naturally resist because we're like, the first thing we hear is, you make me lie down in green pastures. Isn't God so horrible that he wants you to lie down in green pastures? No, he's so wonderful that he wants to do that. But here's what I've learned. We tend not to go lie down in those green pastures. We tend not to accept this invitation to stop and linger because we think we know better for ourselves than we actually do, than the one who created us. And yet we have this good and perfect Father. We have a shepherd who has prepared an amazing feast for you. I promise your enemies aren't preparing this for you. And he invites you to sit down. Think about it for a moment. He comes down. God comes down. And then he sits down for you and for you and for you and for the rest of you so that we can have a relationship with him. Last week, we discovered that we have a shepherd who's with us in the valley. Today, we're discovering that the valley is not the end destination. He prepares a table. He fills our cup. He pursues us with goodness and unfailing love, and ultimately, he brings us home. The shepherd who walked with you in the valley, folks, becomes the host who says, welcome home. And the soundtrack of being overwhelmed says, look at all that's surrounding you right now. And the shepherd says, look who's sitting with you. Can I ask you a question as we get ready to close? Aren't you tired of running? Aren't you tired of being stressed? Aren't you tired of being anxious and overwhelmed? Like you're running from all of these things. And all you really want is peace. And while you're running from all these things, God is running after you with his unfailing love, with his goodness. What if today, what if you stopped running? What if you pushed stop to the soundtrack that you're playing in your head? You stopped running, and what if you just came and you sat at the table and you locked eyes on your Creator and you allowed him to minister to you? In just a moment, worship team is going to come out and we're going to sing a song that we tend to love around here at Epic called The Battle Belongs. And it talks about how the battle belongs to the Lord, not to us. He invites us to sit at the table. And I want us to be able to sing this song as a declaration of victory, that I'm going to push stop to the soundtracks that aren't doing me any good. And I'm going to push start to the soundtracks of the truth of God's word, because that's where I'm going to find victory. That's where I'm going to find peace. But before we sing that song, before Matt invites you to stand and celebrate, if you're also in here and you have been running and you have no idea what it's like to have a relationship with your Creator, I want to encourage you. In a moment, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to invite you to have a conversation with him where you actually stop running and you accept his invitation. You allow him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. And you begin to make your way home to where he's called you to be. So pray with me. Father, we love you. Thank you for your presence in this place today. God, thank you for the truth of your word. God, thank you that even in the midst of everything that we're facing, you put a table in the middle of our struggle. You put a table in the middle of our battle. And God, you do it because you love us. You do it because you want us to know that you're enough. If there's anybody under the sound of my voice that has never been able to experience that truth lived out in their life, they've never accepted the invitation that you make them, to them to join at the table, God, I pray right here in this moment they would. I pray they just have a conversation with you. They would acknowledge that they're a sinner. They need forgiveness of their sins. They would ask you to forgive them. And they would say, I accept the invitation to follow you, to allow you to be my shepherd, to bring me to green pastures, to lead me beside quiet waters, to restore my soul. And God, I pray that in everything that we do, we reject the soundtracks that would try to overwhelm us, the soundtracks that would try to make us afraid, the soundtracks that would convince us we can't hear you. And God, I pray that we would embrace the soundtrack that you are with us and that you are enough and that you love us. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.